very good morning to Tamar Yona. She is a radio talk show host on www.israelnewstalkradio.com. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Yes, I'm with you. Do you hear me?
Oh, now we hear you perfectly clearly. Sorry about that. All right, we wanted to tackle a little bit of a different topic this morning because very, very late last night, you were still out at a wedding in Israel, and we thought we'd spend just a moment talking about Jewish weddings.
Yeah, that's why I still have my morning voice now, because I'm so tired, but it's a good tired. I just wanted to talk to you and your listeners. I know that you know, Howard, but maybe your listeners don't know why Jewish people break the glass at the wedding. Maybe you want to tell them.
So I think it's, you know, in fact, we spoke about, on the show, I think, Zanati, when was it? This week or last week, where we spoke about the fact that somebody in Israel sued a wedding venue, I think for 30,000 shekels. Or 1 million shekel. I can't remember what that figure was.
I think it was last week, actually.
Because they had given them a glass to break that was, that cut right through their foot. And it kind of ruined the whole wedding. And of course we break the glass because we always, even in the height of our joy, we have a tinge of sadness, that relates back to the destruction of the temples and the fact that we were exiled from Jerusalem all those years ago. So obviously that's a very, very significant part of any Jewish wedding, which of course takes us straight back to a connection to Jerusalem.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, people think that the Jewish people have this wonderful state today and we're making inventions and doing amazing things in science and medicine, but they forget about our national tragedy. Whenever we hear about national tragedy, people are thinking about the Nakba, which the Arabs say is their catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And people forget about the Jewish people's catastrophe that we're still suffering from today, and that is the loss of the Holy Temple, where God's Shekhinah, where his presence, it's hard to say this in English, but was there. And there was light to the world. And, you know, the third temple, God willing, it should be built soon, is going to be a place for all people of the world to worship, not just the Jewish people, but all of humanity. It's going to be a wonderful, beautiful thing. But when we're at our weddings, as you said, Howard, we break the glass because though we are so joyous in a man and woman coming together and are about to build a life together, excuse me, we understand that there can be no complete joy unless we have our national tragedy repaired, and that is to have the temple back again. And so we break the glass. And yesterday when I was at the wedding, they have a beautiful rendition of the song of the Psalms 137, which is, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning." And so we don't just like step on the glass and say, "Mazel tov," because then you've lost the meaning of what stepping on the glass is, the breaking, the shattering of the glass. But we first remember the loss of the temple, and it was a very slow, beautiful rendition. People are feeling the loss of our temple. And then afterwards, he smashes the glass, and then we yell Mazal Tov, and then the joy and happiness begins. So it's a wonderful thing, and it's really felt here in Jerusalem, in Israel. It's just an amazing thing, and I wanted to your listeners to understand, because many people don't even know why we break the glass.
Absolutely. Really, really fascinating. And what is incredible and what is interesting is that this is a tradition that was started thousands of years ago, and there's not a Jew. It's become so symbolic. In fact, if you ask people, Jewish or non-Jewish, about what they picture with regard to a Jewish wedding, they would probably picture the chuppah, the canopy, and they would picture the breaking of the glass. You know, that has right. become so intrinsic to the identity. So it is a fascinating subject. The other one that I wanted to talk about is...
Wait, Howard, before we go next, yes. I just want to say this one more thing, because a lot of people don't know this as well, is that when you walk into a home, especially in Israel, a home is a wonderful thing. You've just built your home. It's a joyous occasion. But even when you walk into a home, you're going to see approximately the size of a square cubit of wall without whitewash on it. In remembrance of the temple's destruction, because how can we have a complete built home, living it nicely, and God doesn't have his home here in Jerusalem. So that's also a remembrance. Mm-hmm. And if you walk into people's homes here, you're going to see, why isn't that wall finished over there? And it's a beautiful home, but there's always a spot there to remember that we don't have the temple.
True. Absolutely. A great point. And many people doing that here, many members of the Jewish community do that here as well, is that there is that that section on the wall that is unfinished in order to symbolize the unfinished the fact that the temple was destroyed. All right, going on to sort of less esoteric conversations, we often wonder and we often speak about the way in which the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, behaves. There's always a tremendous amount of negativity, especially in a press that inherently doesn't give Israel a fair rap. And what I wanted to talk about, and maybe just speak to our listeners about as well, is the process of IDF soldiers placing people under arrest, because we see a tremendous amount of misinformation and falsehood that gets repeated over and over again. And I wanted to spend a moment just talking about that, if you're comfortable to do so.
Sure. You know, I don't know if your audience knows, but I have four sons who are in the IDF or have served in the reserves now. And they and their friends have to sometimes go into Arab villages and communities and make arrests of terrorists there. And, you know, usually when I see, personally, I see a news headline saying an arrest was made last night of a terrorist, I just turn the page. It's not that interesting to me until my sons and their friends had to do things like this, and they told me what is involved, how dangerous it is, and now my heart beats every time I read articles like this that an arrest was made. I know what they're going through. They have to study the maps of the village, because I phoned my son one time and he said, Mom, you know, Ima, I can't talk right now. We're just about to go in and make an arrest, and I've got a lot of things I have to study. So we couldn't talk, but they have to go in, they have to study the village, they have to have backup, they have to go inside the viper's nest, and they usually do this in the middle of the night when the village is sleeping, because there will be resistance from the other Arabs. Let me give you an example of what's happened when there was one arrest that was made by that happened south of Jerusalem in the Gush Etzion area in an Arab village. The neighbors found out about it. They must have screamed or yelled, you know, the IDF is here. They were throwing down things from the rooftops on top of our soldiers. One soldier was killed, by the way, when a block came down, even through his helmet, killed the officer. But when my sons and his friends were there, they were throwing down washing machines from the rooftops on top of their heads, refrigerators. One of them threw a cat down on the head of his officer. And in another time, when there was another arrest later, this was north of Jerusalem, they threw not only refrigerators and washing machines, but they threw a live donkey on top of the IDF soldiers there. A live donkey, a live cat. This is things you do not hear about in the news.
Incredible. So, but how do you prepare for this? You know, how are the soldiers briefed? You know, we've seen those. We've even seen that footage, and you know, with that young, well, she's not no longer young, that teenager who likes to get herself arrested by slapping Israeli soldiers. And you when you do watch the footage of it, you can see the incredible restraint that they have to have. How are they trained for this? Because you know, you can't really anticipate every situation that's happening and you know, and what might occur.
I don't know how to answer that question well. All I can say is that people need to realize that IDF soldiers are our sons who just graduated from high school. They're high school boys. They're drafted into the IDF. They're trained. They're told what they can do, what they cannot do. They do practice drills, of course. This is what makes them such a superb army as well. Of course, it's with God's help. But they know what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do, when they're allowed to open fire, when they're not allowed to open fire. It's a very tenuous situation. They're probably doubting themselves a lot, but they err on the side of caution.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Give us a weather report for the weekend. Israel's been facing a tremendous amount. I mean, the pictures that we've seen of the snow in Jerusalem and in the Gush Etzion area or some parts of it have been spectacular. What's expected?
Oh, you know what? It's a big dud. They have been planning this preparations for the storm for maybe 3 days beforehand. They have reporters in different cities in case a snowflake drops.
Oh,
and
no.
In Jerusalem, a little bit of snow did come down, but it didn't last very long at all. It hits the street. It may stay there for a couple of hours or something. They take pictures and
then
they
disappears.
Try to save face for the weathermen.
Because we've got this image of Jerusalem in the snow. So it's really not, I mean, it's, as you say, it falls and then it disappears anyway.
Yes, yes, but sometimes we do get good snowfalls. This just wasn't one of them.
All right, but at least there has been a decent amount of rain. The Kinneret is filling up, and that can only be good news, obviously.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, and I want to thank you, Howard, for having me on your show. I think that a lot of people don't get the view of a mother of an IDF soldier.
Absolutely.
Or soldiers, as in my case, and we really need to appreciate all that they do for protecting Israel and the Jewish people all over the world.
Absolutely right. That is Tamar Yonah. She's a radio talk show host on www.israelnewstalkradio.com.